Right.
So you become born again, yeah? And so what else?
What else after
what
that?
What else, yeah, what else after that?
Well, then you live a life dedicated to Christ, not on your own power, because that would be a life of works. So you depend on Him to guide your paths and continue to confess your sins as you walk through your daily life.
So that you're talking about obedience?
Well,
because the Bible says He made the way for those who would obey in Hebrews 5:9.
There's obedience, yes.
Yep.
But you obey
it's
to the
fruit of the works.
You obey to the point that you're able. But you don't even know the depth of your own heart. So you obey.
Well, Jeremiah does say the heart is wicked, but if we follow the scriptures, we just obey them.
Who can know them?
Exactly. That's why we need a new heart and a new mind through the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Right. But faith without works is dead.
Yeah, I agree.
So if you have no works, which should be very fruitful
works,
because we have the Holy Spirit.
Where do works come from?
We follow the scriptures. We repent.
Are they your works?
Born again. Absolutely, we're doing works for the Lord through His power.
And you're doing them why? Why are you doing them?
Because the Bible commands it. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments.
Amen. And if we want to be His friend, we keep His commandments.
But
how do we love God? Keep His commandments.
Let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Are you able to keep the commandments of the Bible? Are you able to keep all the commandments?
Well, it depends on, are you Hebrew roots? We're in the New Covenant, so we're going to keep the commands of Jesus.
Yes. And are you able to keep all of those?
Through His power, we're to strive for perfection. He would like to carry on the rest of this conversation with you. That would be awesome.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, so we walk through the gospel, and He's asking about how we do our work.
No,
the
I'm just saying,
part.
How obedient are you really? Even in your utmost obedience, how obedient are you really?
Well, I'm sure He can answer that for you.
The tree is known by its fruit, sir. By John 15, if you don't bear fruit, you're not going to be part of the vine.
You know that be born again.
No, but listen to me.
That's how you apply it. Through your life,
man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is, even when you think you are being as obedient as you can be, are you being obedient enough to prove your salvation?
Do you believe the Bible is God's word?
Yes.
Then you test yourself to the word of God. Are you doing what God's word commands?
If you are, yes.
Okay, then you do that.
But it's like only like that.
Do you keep God's word in ways, or do you walk after the flesh? There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're walking in the flesh, you can't. Are you walking in the Spirit?
Okay.
Are you, to the best of your knowledge, doing what God's word commands?
That's what I'm saying, right there. To the best of your knowledge.
And that knowledge, we test ourselves to God's word.
Yeah.
So we test ourselves. Are you doing what God's word commands? Have you come out of the word?
Come out of the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you come out of sports, politics, entertainment, TV? Why? Oh my God. That's out of the
world.
World
then you come out. How do you come out of the world?
You don't participate
in the world.
You don't participate in it. Brother, explain how we come out of the world.
Yeah. Jesus said in John 17, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. So I have a question, like I used to be a worldly man, big time, worse than anybody, no better than anybody, but I'm different. This is Super Bowl time. I have a question. All these so-called Christians in the Super Bowl, watching the Super Bowl, do you think Jesus leads people to worldly, violent, LGBT approving, drunken, rivalry, rowdiness, covetousness?
Does he lead them?
You think that's of God?
No, he does not.
So how do you come out of that is you don't partake in it?
Hold on.
You don't partake in it.
But who did Christ sup with? Who did he fellowship with?
Sinners who listened to him and called to repentance.
They,
he didn't party with them.
Hold on. Yeah.
And where did he go? He never went to Roman pagan parties.
No, I agree. Well,
he went to Israelite weddings.
I would agree.
He didn't go to the baths where they all went around in their perversion. So come on now. So where are we, sir? Are we here?
No.
With sinners? We're here on the world. So, but
no,
we don't
not,
go and join to the NFL.
I'm not condemning what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think this is a great message.
Yeah, so you've got to come out of the world. You just asked the question. I want my brother to get back to what he was saying.
Yeah.
You just said, how do you come out of the world? You're in the world, you're not of it.
Right.
We stand in the world, the broad road of destruction. We point to Christ and call people out. If you were in quicksand going down, we don't jump in to help you. We throw you the gospel and pull you out.
I agree.
So that's why you can't be of sports, politics, entertainment. James 4:4 says to be a friend of the world. The word friend means fond of.
I agree.
So that's how you do it, sir. You don't live your life according to that. Pride, vanity, fashion. Did you know? I witnessed a homosexual the other day, a young man. And he was very thankful that I didn't get, like, he thought as a street preacher I was going to yell at him because he's homosexual. Because there's wicked street preachers. I told him, your sin is like everyone else's sin. It's a sin. Did you know, if we do our hair, and we do our clothes, and we do anything with our body to make us look good, did you know we're like a homosexual? We're an abomination to God. Proverbs 6:17 says, seven things are an abomination to God. One of them is proud look. American churchianity is full of pride-filled, haughty look people. Even in their names, Dr. Tupos. That's my name, Tupos. Why would you call yourself doctor if you're not puffing yourself up? You come out of the world by coming out of that which is carnal and sinful.
Boy, we could have some really good conversations.
Email my brother. Go on the website and email.
I think what you're doing is good. I think we need to call people to repentance. But I'm going to tell you, if you're doing anything on your own strength, if you're causing people to live in legality.
What's legality? Do you obey the traffic laws?
You're missing the grace.
You obey traffic laws.
You're missing the grace of Christ.
Do you obey? Oh, no. I can't let you go there. I love you too much. Brother, tell them about the grace of grace.
You know the grace of grace?
What does grace mean? Grace. What does grace mean in the Bible?
It's undeserved favor.
No. Do you know what grace means in the Bible? First, I quote you a scripture. Second Titus. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Grace is not a blanket covering unmerited favor. The Bible doesn't talk about that. Grace is the divine influence on your heart that God's convicting you of your sins so you repent of it. And then, First John 1, if we walk in the light and He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ the Son cleanses us from sin. Grace is pointing people to repentance so they can turn from their sin. That's grace. Not unmerited favor you won't find in God's word. The word you believe in unconditional love. Do you believe in God's unconditional love and grace?
Well, so there is circumstantial grace. Otherwise, we all deserve judgment right now.
I'm glad you said that. There is no such thing. Unmerited favor would be like saying unconditional love. That's not found anywhere in God's word. The grace of God is conditional upon you walking in His ways. Well, the love of God is conditional upon you being in Jesus Christ.
I think you're,
sir, did you know what Hebrews 5:9 says? Jesus Christ made the way of eternal life.
Yeah.
Whoever believes in grace, whoever obeys Him.
That's right. That's right.
Obedience. We're preaching obedience.
I
Christ and obedience. Faith and works go together.
What you guys are preaching is just another bondage.
How is it bondage? His commandments are not grievous.
You know what Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:16? Live in sound doctrine by which you are saved. Did Paul teach bondage? He said, live in sound doctrine by which you are saved, and then live here. Why are you accusing us of bondage and not Paul?
I'm just saying.
I'm going to hold you to that. Why are you accusing us of bondage and not Paul? I quoted Paul's words. Keep hold fast to sound doctrine by which you are saved, and them that hear thee. Why is that bondage, but real bondage?
I think if we go back and look at some of Paul's other teachings,
careful now.
Some of his other
instructions
to the church, that he says that his works were his works of righteousness were as rubbish, as a donkey. These were the works that he had.
Where did Paul ever say that?
That he had prior to him coming.
Where did Paul ever say that? Where did Paul ever say that you're talking about filthy rags theology? Now you're going to Isaiah.
No,
was quoting Israel that was living in idolatry. What verse did Paul say that?
Now let me think about it.
You're misquoting and twisting Philippians 3, where Paul says, I count all things but dung to gain the excellence of the knowledge. He was talking about what he did before Christ.
Not
living righteously in Christ, because we're commanded to.
Torah law, he was talking about, the new covenant.
I'm going to continue to go down. It was nice talking to all of you.
The church is all... Hey, what? You can go on our website. It's our body's website, don'tperish.com. Email us. We'd love to continue the conversation. Do you belong to a church system?
I do.
Can I ask the name of it?
Yeah, it's a Presbyterian church.
Okay, Presbyterian. This is invented by men, John Calvin particularly. John Calvin burned men alive at the stake for going against him. That is not of Jesus. John Calvin teaches many false ways, Christmas, Easter, false gospel, feminism, worldliness. He goes to a Presbyterian church, so we can understand where his mindset is. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Is that Calvinism?
Jesus said in Mark 7, you worship God in vain for keeping your man-made traditions. Christmas, Easter, his false gospel, putting back the pagan temple, Sunday is the Lord's Day, one guy behind a pulpit, taking the tithe, all those things are man-made traditions in the New Covenant. Some of them rehashed from the old, some of them totally created. The Roman Catholics created Christmas and Easter, sir. Good Friday is a lie. Jesus didn't even die on Friday. But you keep them. Those are lies that will separate you from the kingdom of God. You practice them. That continued keeping?
Of course. If you observe it, if you say it is so, if you practice that religious holiday, if you teach it the way your churches do, you're keeping it. You're practicing it, you're observing it. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, the Bible says. You can't do that. Jesus said, this is just for safety. It's not going anywhere. I've had people swing at me. So. What? I'm not aware of the word. It's just prudence.
Jesus said, "Be wise." Jesus said, "Be wise as serpents." Oh, did he retell me? Jesus said, "Be wise as serpents." So everywhere you go today, there's technology. You probably have security cameras at home, maybe, or backup cameras in your car. So we just do it to be safe.
See, the difference is, you might not understand this. Brother, would you explain to him the difference between adding things to God's word and worship, which becomes a spiritual man-made tradition that is in your soul, versus just being in the word with things like a car?
Yeah, you can't, wait, hold on, let me answer real quick. You can't add, you can add whatever you want to your life that's not sinful and is not connected to God. You drive a car, I do too. Did God tell us to do that? Is it tied to our worship? What if I told you that I teach these brothers and sisters that we got to be in our van before we can worship God? Okay, that's an added man-made tradition connected to God. Christmas is that. Easter is that. Sunday is the Lord's Day is that. Ready? What Bible verse says Sunday is the Lord's Day? It was always Saturday, and now it's every day resting in Christ. That is a Roman Catholic handed down. Twice they gathered on the first day of the week. That never made it a new Christian Sabbath. They also, in Acts, gathered every day. Acts 2, they gathered every day. Sunday's not, that's a Roman Catholic handed down tradition like the Roman Catholic tradition. See, you're practicing many lines that are going to keep you out of the kingdom. Revelation 22, it says if you love and practice a lie, singular, a lie, you're going to be outside of the kingdom. So you've got to walk in the truth of God, which purifies you. John 17, you know what sanctifies you? Just believing in grace? You know what sanctifies you? For Jesus. What? Those are all part of the Christian faith. What sanctifies is Jesus says, thy word is true. Thy word sanctifies.
Born again.
So you got to walk in the word to be sanctified.
If you're born again, it doesn't matter.
You're born again. You mean you
can be? I'll try to make it short. So I was raised Methodist, started going to Baptist church, and started working.